D4. Number 14, B.
So that really we find here the Christ as the Savior that saves in spite of us. In spite. I don't know if you like that. You know it's a beauty. You know it's a beauty. I think everyone somehow is quite aware of himself as a mortal. I think if he looks at him properly enough, I think everyone thinks about himself as a mortal that you are a stinker. That's all. Really, you know. The mortal is so limited, you know, has so much shortcomings. Well, if we start there, I don't think there is much hope for us. If we think that first I must be a good boy, and first I must overcome all these things before the Christ, the grace of the Christ will take care of me. And I like to see that. I think whatever I am, whatever I've been doing, no matter what shortcomings I still have, no matter what false characteristics are still shown forth in me, I jolly well know that this has nothing to do with my Christ selfhood. And I put it away and I see here in the self-expression of being, there I start. There is no mortal me, there is no mortal ego, there is just that one ego, that one I, which is the divine I. And that's the only I like. That's the only I that is my I. And that I, as self-realization, realizes itself in me in its fullness and in Christian Science in spite of being a stinker, in spite of it. And that gives me a sense, you know, really, that no error can hinder, no mortal characteristics in us, no hereditary belief in us, can hinder in any way, shape, and form the manifestation of the Christ and to partake of the grace of Christ. Or let's take point two, go through point two. In Christian Science here we have that the Christ is retranslating mortal mind back into the divine mind, and we say, well, that's wonderful, that because the argument is, can we establish there where we have a wrong situation, can we establish there an ideal situation? The religionist, the moralist, the metaphysician says, yes, I can. I try very hard to improve myself. I try very hard to control myself and see that instead of doing something wrong, I do something right. Instead of doing something evil, I do something good. And that's the moral way. Whereas the divine way, the scientific way is that says the ideal of God itself must do it. Not I must do it. Not I through my will, through my moral efforts must do it. Because morally I can anyway be wrongly informed. So I better start with the spiritual ideal and I go right up to the divine science. And see, the whole ideal of being is already established because God has an ideal. And that ideal is self-existent and self-expressed as the one life, the one truth, the one love. And as I begin to see that ideal is the only ideal, I begin to see in absolute Christian Science that ideal is translating itself constantly to the point of ideas, of ideal ideas in everything. And I let the Christ ideal translate itself individually to the situation. And this brings about the exchanging of the false concept for the ideal concept. And so in that way I feel it is the Christ consciousness that does the work and not my thinking. Or let's take point three, which we have already touched a little bit, the uncovering of specific error. It's a great point here. It's perhaps good to repeat it again. You see, Mr. Dorley pointed out in his book on the practice very strongly that in order to deal with a specific case, with a specific error, we have to know the specific truth. That's how we deal with it on the level of Christian Science. So that the specific error, like 5 times 26, cannot be healed by 6 times 6, 36, but must be healed by the exact truth, 5 times 5 is 25. But who on earth gives us the right idea? The specific truth. That's the great question. And so people come along and say to the practitioner, you tell me where I go off. Tell me what is the specific error. And the only thing I can tell them, I don't know. I just don't know it, just as you don't know it. But we know a law. We know a law, and that law is that everyone, if it is the practitioner or the patient, he jolly well has to use the same law. And he would better use it himself first. Namely, to go right back to divine science. And see, in divine science, there is anyway only truth knowing itself as the whole truth. And that's the only truth there is. And by filling one's consciousness with that one truth, knowing itself as the one truth, we come to the point where we feel, yes, and that one truth, knowing itself as the one truth in divine, in absolute Christian Science, is really reading the trite idea. And in staying within that consciousness, we will begin to feel after a while, whatever that while is, maybe an hour, it may be 5 days, it may be 2 weeks, I don't know when. Then when the Christ idea is consciously held in its right measure of truth, that the truth about the situation begins to appear. The specific case somehow, we'll see that then afterwards, how begins to translate itself to consciousness. And then, through the law of opposites, that specific truth is then uncovering the specific error. That's the law of opposite that does it. That's the easiest law, because every truth is the exact opposite of a specific error. And in this way, really, we would have a scientific procedure of uncovering error. Yes. Now, let's go through the last column here and still concentrate the whole tone of the Christ more in terms of the synonymous terms for God. Because the moment we come to the synonymous terms for God, naturally we feel that they are so big, because they are super symbols, that if we rest in consciousness with those synonymous terms, that then we really cover the whole ground. So, how can we express the Christ in divine science? Here, Mr. Zoli showed it is truth, it is the one truth. I think you have to put the accent on one, on the one truth. Not just on any quality that truth has, but to pinpoint really what the Christ has been showing here as truth itself, to see that truth itself is therefore one truth, not many truths. It's being as truth itself and knowing itself as truth, truth being conscious of itself as the whole of truth, as the nature of truth, so to say. Not the truth about something, but being conscious of the nature of what truth is, namely the self-affirmation of truth, the self-claiming of truth, the self-possession of truth, the self-consciousness of truth, all that, so that one feels in being there is just that one truth at work, which is always right, which is always just, which is always the right answer. So here, this one truth is not at all interested in solving errors. Because in divine science, you know, now you always come to the point where you know your levels, your pedal nose. In divine science, you know that error is excluded. That error is not taken in as something to be solved. Here, truth is just knowing itself. Then we come to absolute Christian science. You must get that tone. Because now we should be able to get it through what we have been seeing on absolute Christian science up to now. That all what we have been saying can be summarized just in three terms: truth, life, love. Why? You must see it not because it's there, and not memorize it because it's there, but understand it. Why is it? What is the purpose of absolute Christian science? The purpose of absolute Christian science, we have seen, is that truth translates itself, expresses itself as infinite truth, but only as infinite truth, so that they are really specific truths adapted to the situation. If I say that, and one has a knowledge of the synonymous term, you have heard that what I was saying with words was truth, life, love. See, we have to have a cultural sense of those synonymous terms. And then everything becomes easy. It tells here the great story, which says, the Christ in divine science is the one truth, the one ideal. But the moment it comes to absolute Christian science, that one ideal we have seen must be expressed as ideal ideas. So that truth must have an individualization of expression, or an expression for individualization. Now, life is that synonymous term which you know that gives the sense of expressing individuality. Life is indivisibility and shows that that one truth is actually, when expressing itself, showing itself as infinitely individualized truth. Do you catch the tone of absolute Christian science? Huh? It's going out as infinite truth. That ideal, one ideal, is going out, individualizing itself as infinitely individualized ideas. But we have said, not every truth is the answer to a specific error. It must be that scanner that takes out that truth which is adapted to the situation. And that is what love does. Love is the infinite adaptation of being. Love is that which solves a situation. And so love is that which consummates a situation. And we feel, therefore, truth as the one ideal expresses itself in infinitely individual life to the point where it is adapted to every situation, love. So, can you see why through the synonymous terms we have a shorthand expression, so to say, of infinity? Because they are such great super symbols that with simple terms we can take in a whole range of conceptions. Here we have the divine scanner, that truth which contains the whole of truth, the whole information of truth, the whole ideal. And it goes right over all the infinitely individualized truths and picks out through love that which is adapted to the situation. I call it tailored to measure. What do you say, tailored to measure? Yeah, it's not from the rack. You don't go into a store and buy a suit just from the rack, and perhaps it fits or perhaps it fits nearly. This here is tailor-made. It's tailor-made. Truth, life, love says the ideal form, truth, is so individualized and infinitely individualized life that it fits every situation, love. The infinite adaptation of love. It's really that we begin to see that truth, we could put it in other words and could see it's really truth, the consciousness of the Christ, consciousness of the one Christ, the one truth, infinitely individualized as the consciousness of the Christ, infinitely individualized for adaptability, for applicability, love. So that it is infinitely applicable, adaptable, just right for the situation. Can you hear that, what the Christ is? That the Christ does not say, I'm just one big ideal and that's that, absolute divine science. But it says, I'm the one infinite ideal, but because I'm infinite, I'm infinitely individualized, just right for every situation, love. And if you hear that law, the law of truth, life, and love, just as we have seen yesterday, to feel the law of life, truth, and love, which has quite a different connotation, we see here how these two laws are blend with each other. Can you see that? Think, if you remember, what did we have in absolute Christian Science in the world? We had the law of life, truth and love. And what it meant, you remember, was that we go out into the world with that hum within us that says, the Word of God says, as absolute Christian Science, I'm the infinite impulsion of life. And what I impel is always right, truth. And is right from the beginning fulfilled. I cannot impel anything which is not complete, which is not perfect. So you get the sense of that creative impulsion of life, truth, and love. And naturally, something in us would come up with an opposite or with a suggestion and would say, oh yes, that's wonderful, but does that take care of my individual situation? God is too big, says mortal mind, God is too big that he can look after everyone, that he can translate itself to every situation. That's what mortal mind says. And therefore, that law of life, truth and love, must be combined at once with the law of truth, life and love, where something within us says, I repeat now again, first life, truth and love, and then truth, life and love, where something in us says the law of the world as life, truth and love is that law which constantly tells us, I'm the infinite creative impulsion that is doing right and is right from the beginning, complete and fulfilled and perfect. And that law has a Christ of truth, life and love, has a Christ that it comes to each individual situation so adapted to the situation, no matter how small it is, to the minutiae of each individualization, that it is the solution to a problem. Adapted to a problem. And you go out and feel that Christ touch. That Christ touch which somehow tells us, you know, whatever your problems may be, you may not even know them. Most of the problems at this level of absolute Christian Science are those latent problems, those problems which rest in the subconscious, which make up about 90 or 95% of all our errors, which we are therefore not conscious of. They take care of that. And so I go out into the world and say, I don't care if I'm a stinker and if I know it or if I don't know it. I don't care what I am. I care what I am as the Christ consciousness. And the Christ consciousness is nothing else but the expression of the Word. So I combine those two laws. Life, the impulsion of life, the urge of life, the drive of life, the push of life, the acceleration of the life push, bringing forth the true forms of being, only true forms of being, only that which is right, and is right from its inception, complete and fulfilled, love. And then I hear the hum that says, and that is going to translate itself to every situation, to you individually too, because it's truth, life. It translates that whole ideal of the world. That whole ideal translates it constantly to the individual situation and fits rightly, adapts itself rightly, meets the problem rightly. It's of the nature of love. It wants to heal us. It wants to save us. It wants to help us. And so, in this way, you can feel, you see, how one feels to be the individual manifestation of the Christ. That one Christ truth in divine science becomes now the individual Christ, as an individual consciousness of salvation. So that one feels, I don't need to expect salvation. I don't need to ask and expect that God is coming to me. I am it. I am the individual expression of that truth. And I'm that individual expression of that truth right at the point where it fits for my life mission, for my life purpose. It is of the nature of love. And therefore gives me the feeling that the Christ consciousness is going to use me in the highest sense possible in the world. Because love is always the highest, the maximum, the optimal form of being. You can also see that the truth is really the individualized, optimal form of the Christ. And you can go out into the world and feel, there is no competition for me. I'm so unique in the expression of the Christ. I'm such a unique Christ man that has a mission for itself and that has a fulfillment which cannot be equaled by anyone else, because it's individual, has no competitor, and it's not only individual, it's optimal love. And you feel like Jesus could say, I am the Christ. All right, we would go further now to Christian Science and come to the translation, but that we'll do this afternoon. That takes us quite a while.